there aren't many second chances in this life. It's certainly not a dress rehearsal. So the things we do now, today, tomorrow, this week, next week, are going to determine the sort of life we end up living. And given what's at stake, don't you want to live an extraordinary life? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today, we're kicking off a new series of messages called How to Live an Extraordinary Life. And as we share this time together, I'm praying that God will have a huge impact on the direction that your life takes from here on in, by His Spirit and His Word. We're going to kick off something really exciting today on the program. Over the coming few weeks, we're going to be looking at how to live an absolutely extraordinary life. I mean, we all wish we could. Some people are, some people, well, and some people not so much, right? But just stop and think about this for a minute. What if you and I could live a totally outrageously extraordinary life? I mean, a life that really impacts other people's lives for the right reasons instead of the wrong ones. A life that people will remember with a fondness, with a gratitude, the sort of life that will have people queuing to deliver our eulogy at our funerals. And I know there are one or two people listening to me rabbiting on, thinking to themselves, yeah, well, that'd be nice, but you see, it's always the but. Well, here's my challenge. No ifs, no buts. Do you want to live an extraordinary life, yes or no? If the answer's yes, then let's have a chat, huh? So what stops us from leading an extraordinary life? We can blame all sorts of things. We can blame our circumstances. We can blame our parents, our DNA, our personality type, the place or the family or the time that we were born into and grew up in, the bad things that happened along the way. And okay, perhaps, just maybe, a few of the mistakes we've made. But who we are, the abilities, the limitations we've been given, how tall we are, the colour of our hair and our skin, how smart we are or we aren't, all of those things are things we just can't change. I can't change who I am, you can't change who you are, but what we can do is make the most of what we've been given. The problem is with a lot of the self-help rhetoric around the place, a lot of the motivational speakers, all that genre of stuff, is they tell you, you can be whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. You can have whatever you want to have. And my answer to that is, no, you can't. It's just not true. I mean, I'd love to be a great artist, but I can't draw or paint for nuts. I'd love to be a great photographer, but I just don't have the eye for it. I'd love to be a basketball player, but I'm just too short. I'd love to be... Do you get it? It doesn't matter how positively I think, how hard I strive, or how focused I am. I am never, ever, ever going to be tall enough to be a great basketball player. Forget the fact that I'm just getting a little bit old for that now anyway. So it's not about being, doing, or having anything our little heart desires. That's fairyland stuff. It's all about being realistic about who we are, what we're capable of, and saying to ourselves, you know something? I want to make my life count. Given the obvious constraints, and we all have them, even though they're different, I want my life to count. I want my life to make a positive difference in this world. Because if it's not, then we're living a sort of a meaningless existence, an unfulfilling existence. I'll tell you what I think is the biggest reason that most people don't live lives that count. It's because we've modelled ourselves on the wrong principles, the wrong beliefs, and the wrong behaviours. We go to school, we learn how to read and write and do arithmetic, but there doesn't seem to be any formal school to teach us life, how to live, how to be effective, how to be gracious. That bit of learning, the most important bit of learning when you think about it, is pretty much left to chance in some cultures, but not so much in others. And so we pick things up by watching our parents and mimicking them. Some of that's good, some of it's not, which is why bad traits like anger and abuse get handed down from one generation to the next. We watch our teachers. We pick up things in the schoolyard and on television and on advertising billboards. And somehow that all goes in the blender and out pops you and out pops me. Good, bad, and sometimes ugly. I mean, that's about it, isn't it? And when you look at it that way, It's just a little bit crazy. I mean, no wonder we're not living lives that count, lives that make a positive difference in this world. We've picked up some good habits and lots of bad habits, some good attitudes, but lots of wrong ones too. And the bad stuff we've picked up, that stuff you might hear Christians talk about and calling it sin, that bad stuff holds us back from realizing our potential to do good, our potential to make a difference, our potential to experience the satisfaction of using who we are and what we have to help other people. So what's the answer? Do we need a classroom and teachers and a curriculum on how to be the best person we can possibly be? Yeah, well, maybe, but probably in small doses. In a sense, that's what these programs are about. But you know that old Chinese proverb, tell me and I'll forget. Show me and I might remember. Involve me and I'll understand. It's exactly what Jesus does, and he still does with his disciples. Consider those first 12 disciples. They hung out with him for about 3.5 years. He taught them, he listened to them, he dealt with some of their wrong attitudes, he admonished them, he encouraged them, and above all, he involved them. They got to watch him to see how he responded and reacted, what he said, when he was kind and gentle, when he was tough as nails, when he protested, when he was silent. They got to model themselves on Jesus by being involved in his ministry. Hey, now here's an idea, do you think? What if instead of soaking it all up without thinking, what if instead of assimilating selfishness and loneliness and all that stuff from our culture, what if we deliberately followed Jesus around for a while and watched him and listened to him and let him guide us, involve us, teach us, disciple us? Hey, that'd be cool. Well, my friend, that is exactly what we're going to be doing on the program over these next few weeks. See, often we'll take on little things that Jesus said and did and we'll study it and we'll learn from it and we'll move on. But what if we took a look at his life and soaked it in on the basis there simply is no better role model on any planet, in any galaxy, in any universe than Jesus? What if we looked at some of the really familiar stories, perhaps from a different angle, from a slightly different perspective, as a student looking to his or her mentor? That'd be cool. And you know the amazing thing that happens when we do that? Is that all of a sudden Jesus starts involving us in his work. He starts discipling us. He starts teaching us and speaking to us through what's going on in our lives. Because this Jesus isn't dead, he's alive. And anyone who would believe in him, would follow after him, to that person he sends his Holy Spirit to be our counselor, our advocate, our guide, our personal life coach. Want to know how to live an extraordinary life? Well, let's take a look at Jesus.
I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. I'm really excited about these next few weeks as we follow Jesus around, just as the disciples did through Matthew's account of his life, to discover how we can live an extraordinary life. That's why we're going to be talking about this subject, how to live an extraordinary life, over the next few weeks, because God really does want you to live an absolutely extraordinary life. You can listen to each of the messages in this series right now at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see them right there on the homepage. You can stream the audios, download them, read the transcript, even subscribe to the podcast. Or you can watch this week's teaching on Christianity Works TV. It's right there on the homepage as well, together with a treasure trove of free resources, like Fresh, the free Christianity Works daily devotional. Words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to your smartphone, tablet or computer each weekday. You see, it's all about helping you to live out each and every day in the victory that Jesus came to give you. That's why we do what we do here at Christianity Works. So that web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, a question. Are you living an extraordinary life? A life that really counts for something or not? And if not, why not? Well, one of the reasons sometimes is that the things of the past are ruining your present and robbing you of the future. It's time to change that.
Now, there are plenty of people in this world who want to blame the past for where they are today. You might say, that sounds a bit harsh. You may even have had a hard start in life yourself. Perhaps you were born into a very humble household, or you had a difficult family environment. Maybe, like my parents, you had to schlep through a war or two. Perhaps you lost your parents when you were really young. Someone who's listening today may have been abused. Another person suffered from depression, and yet another has gone through divorce. None of those things are pleasant. None of those things are things we'd wish on ourselves, or even our worst enemy for that matter. What is it in your life? What circumstance, what relationship, what start in life did some damage to you along the way? Huh? You know in an instant that thing that I'm talking about. So let me ask you this. To what extent are you still using that as an excuse today not to be living an extraordinary life? We Australians tend to be fairly blunt and direct, and so I'm asking you a blunt and direct question. Not to ruffle your feathers so much, but to force each one of us to face facts. And the fact is that the majority of people walking around on planet Earth today have something in their past that's ruining their present and robbing them of their future. Now, let's turn back to Jesus. If you and I could model our lives on him, if you and I could adopt him as our life coach and mentor, if we could learn to live a life that looks a whole lot like Jesus, well, man, oh man, imagine what a life that would be. So what are we doing talking about our past and then about Jesus? Because this whole thing of the past ruining our lives is one of the greatest scourges and epidemics of our society today. I mean, billions of people are being ruined because people let their past rob them of their present and their future. What do we learn through Jesus on that? What was his past? What was his start in life? What did that look like and how did he handle it? Well, I guess that most people know the story. Jesus had a rather rocky start in this world. Mary fell pregnant out of wedlock. According to her, the Holy Spirit did it. Well, yeah, right. Who believed that? Then they had a long, painful journey in her last weeks of pregnancy from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea. And then to top it all off, the travel agent lost their hotel booking and they had to bunk outside in a shed with the sheep and the goats and the cows. With the very first breath of air that little baby Jesus took, he was filled with a stench of cow dung and sheep's urine. But there was something else in his past, something much worse than that, that could have left a horrible mental scar and marred him and hamstrung him for life. Have a listen to this. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken about by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, that a voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. So there you have it. Infant genocide, ethnic cleansing, all on account of Jesus. You don't think he knew about that when he was growing up? You don't think people blamed him? You don't think this played on his mind and tore at his heart? You don't think that this one thing could have totally derailed him from living his extraordinary life? See, we don't often think about this. But this was in Jesus' past. This was on Jesus' heart. This could have completely robbed him of his extraordinary life. But instead he declared, "Let us go on to the neighbouring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." Jesus was totally focused on his mission, on what God had sent him to do. Now, I'm no psychologist, but I have friends who are. And from them I know how complex and how difficult it can be to let go of things in your past, things that are holding you back. Hey, and not just from the psychologist, I know from my own experience how difficult it can be to let go of the past. So here are my three essentials for letting go, for stopping the past from ruining your present and robbing you of a future. First, decide to change. When I went through a major loss in my life, there was a time of mourning and grief. Hey, that's natural, that's normal. But there comes a point when you just have to decide that the status quo isn't an option. It is time to move on. It is time to lay hold of the extraordinary life that God planned for you. Some people today need to hear that, and they need to take that decision today. The second essential is believing what God says, and He says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a completely new creation. All the old things have passed away, and look, everything, and I mean everything, is new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. In other words, your faith in Jesus, according to God, is meant to set you completely free from the past. Now, that's worth believing. And thirdly, for those people who have hurt me, those who've caused the loss in the first place, can I tell you, that was the single most important thing for me. I prayed constantly, and I still do, that the Lord would bless them and that they too would find Jesus. Praying for your enemies, blessing those who curse you, is what Jesus taught us to do. And now, I'm starting to live out that extraordinary life that God planned for me. So how about you? Jesus didn't let the past hold him back. And neither should we. It's time for you to live that extraordinary life that He planned for you.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and we'll get back to today's Christianity Works message in just a moment. Living that extraordinary life that Jesus has planned for you, it's not always easy. And yes, it takes faith and sometimes a bit of encouragement, a bit of God's wisdom spoken into your life just at the right time. That's why we here at Christianity Works have published our latest life application booklet, Your Extraordinary Life Awaits. And right now, I'd love to send you a free copy. Just stop by at ChristianityWorks.com to request yours. You'll see that free offer right there at the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. And while you're there, please don't forget that there are so many other free resources available, like Christianity Works TV. You can watch this teaching on our weekly TV broadcast. You see, it's all about helping you to live out each and every day in the victory that Jesus came to give you. But back to that free booklet again. It's called Your Extraordinary Life Awaits, and the web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, by and large, most of us don't have a problem with authority, most of the time, until we disagree with a person who's in authority over us. Then it's a problem. And yet, learning to submit to authority is surprisingly one of the first steps to living an extraordinary life.
Well, what's the next thing we discover by looking at Jesus about living an extraordinary life? Well, you may not like it, but here it is. Jesus submitted to authority. Oh, yeah, really? You see, we Australians in particular are known around the world for our lack of respect for authority. It's kind of in the DNA of our culture to flaunt it, to rebel against it, to poke fun at it. A good friend of mine, in fact, he's my mentor, Graham, was an officer in the Australian Army during the Vietnam War. And the lads, the Aussies, were over there. They decided that tonight was going to be party night. No particular reason. They just decided they wanted to let their hair down and have a good night. So the Australians being Australians, the soldiers decided to declare that that day would be a celebration of Ho Chi Minh's birthday. Not really that politically correct, but if you're an Australian, you'll smile. You'll get it. It taps right into this innate desire we have, as we would say, to take the mickey out of things. Ho Chi Minh, of course, was the head of the North Vietnamese independence movement, who our lads and the Americans and the South Vietnamese were fighting against. So they drove around to the different units, declaring that today was Ho Chi Minh's birthday. But, and Graham loves telling this story, when they arrived at the American unit, and rather loudly and boisterously, as we Australians do, announced Ho Chi Minh's birthday party was happening tonight back at the Australian compound. Well, there's a blank look on the Americans' faces. They just didn't get the humour. What planet are these Australians on? Why was there such a disconnect? Because by and large, Americans are a patriotic bunch. They believe in truth and justice and the American way. Sorry to borrow that from Superman. and they respect their leaders, even though they disagree with them, and which they can do, and they do in their democracy. But they tend to respect authority in a way that Australians don't. But whichever culture we come from, however much we do naturally respect authority, deep down, I mean really deep down, most of us struggle with authority from time to time. You see, authority's always fine until you disagree with a person in authority. I mean, it's fine having a boss at work until you want to go in this direction when she wants to go in that direction. And so we have our little silent protest, right? We resist, we pout, we undermine, we backstab. And sometimes it breaks out into open warfare. Does that sound vaguely familiar? Because our base position is, I'm right and she's wrong. I mean, I'm always right. It's my way or the highway. Now we have a problem. We struggle, we complain, we become demotivated. So what can Jesus' life teach us about the importance of authority in living out an extraordinary life? Well, here's a vignette, a short segment of Jesus' life on this earth, and it speaks into this very thing. Have a listen. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "Hang on, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." So John consented. Now these days, we kind of understand what baptism is. It's an outward sign that we've died to self and that we've risen to Christ. It's a public expression of our faith in Jesus. But back then, the only people who were baptized were proselytes. These were people who weren't born as Israelites, God's chosen nation, but who'd subsequently put their faith in the God of Israel. It was a sign that even though they weren't Jewish by birth, they had become one of God's people through faith in him, and that they would, wait for this, they would obey the law of Moses. That was the key. And the reason that John the Baptist had been out there in the wilderness baptizing Jews was as a sign of repentance, of turning away from their sins and going back to God, submitting back under the law of God. Get it? So, Jono was right to protest. "Hang on, Jesus, what are you doing? You're the Messiah, you're him. What am I doing baptizing you, for crying out loud? If anything, it should be the other way around." And Jesus' answer? "Let it be so for now, for it is proper in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And Jesus had come to die for us, the perfect sacrifice, so that you and I could become the perfect righteousness of God. So that you and I, when we put our faith in Jesus, have a complete, perfect, and forever right standing before God. Why did Jesus submit to John's baptism, the baptism of repentance, even though as the one man who had never, ever, ever sinned, he had nothing to repent from? This is why. Because this was the single most public, most visible thing that he could do to declare his submission to God through the law of Moses. He wanted the world to know that he, although he was the Son of God, although he had never once sinned, fully submitted, fully placed himself under the authority of the Word of God. It was the very first step he took in his public ministry. So, how did his dad in heaven react? What was God's response? Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. "And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending down upon him like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" What an endorsement. I mean, imagine for a minute that you and I were to live for that, for God's endorsement, to please him, to delight him by putting our lives under his mighty hand, by heeding his voice, by loving him, by obeying him. Imagine if that's the first thing we did, the very first thing before stepping out into what God has planned for us. Just imagine the impact our lives would have. It's not such a bad start, is it, to have an extraordinary life? Before we conclude our time together,
This program that you've just been listening to is heard not just here on your station, but through over 1,350 stations in 160 countries. And yet we face so much spiritual opposition in so many places because, frankly, our enemy the devil doesn't want millions of people each week hearing about Jesus. So can I ask you a huge favor? Would you pray with me that God would open many, many more doors around the world for us to share the stunningly good news of Jesus Christ with the lost? Because our heart and His heart is to reach the unreached with His love. If you're serious about praying with me, you can check out this month's prayer list at ChristianityWorks.com. And while you're there, don't forget that there's a treasure trove of resources in the Media Lounge, conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. Topics like marriage and family, relationships, spiritual warfare, the Holy Spirit, and lots, lots more. And there's Fresh, the free daily Christianity Works video devotional. You can receive it every day right in the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer. That's all at ChristianityWorks.com because I'm passionate about seeing your life transformed as you receive the powerful, life-changing Word of God into your heart. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again soon right here on Christianity Works with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.